Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio.
Hey, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. This is Chris Arp sitting in. And as I promised, we're going to have DeRoy Murdoch coming up next. He is a founding member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. New York commentator DeRoy Murdoch is a nationally syndicated columnist with the Scripps Howard News Service, a media fellow with the Hoover Institution on War, Revolution, and Peace at Stanford University, a Fox News contributor, and a senior fellow with the Atlas Economic Research Foundation, a supporter of about 300 free market think tanks in some 30 or 90 countries worldwide. Hello, DeRoy. How are you?
Afternoon. How are you?
Good, good. It's good talking to you. I've admired your work for many, many years, and this is the first time that I get to talk to you, so I'm very pleased about that, sir.
That's great to talk to you. Thank you.
Good. Now, DeRoy and I are also members of Project 21, and we're going to talk about this a little more in the interview, but Project 21 put out a press release on Representative Steve King's white nationalist, white supremacy remarks, and DeRoy and I put out a comment on that, but we'll get into that later, as I said. DeRoy, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the country. The president made a proposal to reopen the government. The Democrats immediately shut it down. You've written some interesting columns on the border. What's your thoughts on the president's latest proposal?
I saw the president's remarks on Saturday. I thought remarks were warm. They were completely the opposite of what we hear about Trump, that he hates immigrants, hates Hispanics, he's a racist, etc. He reminded, just like Dr. King, who we honored today, he spoke about Americans all being equal before God, that we're equal before the law. He did a beautiful ceremony just before the speech where he swore in as new American citizens, people from, if I remember correctly, South Korea, England, I believe Ecuador, somewhere in Africa, I forget now, right in front of me, people from pretty much all around the world. It was like a mini UN. So that, I think, is something to his credit, and I think the specifics on the proposal go well beyond the claim that, well, he just wants Trump's wall. Of course, he does want $5.7 billion for border security, but he talked about things that the Democrats have said they want. For example, this three-year extension on protection for the DACA population, a three-year extension for people in the TSP population who are here for sort of humanitarian reasons, money for humanitarian assistance for people on the border. A lot of the Democrats like to say, well, you know, it's not just a wall, you need more. Okay, well, he wants more money for additional Border Patrol agents, immigration judges to get through this massive backlog of something like 800,000 or 900,000 amnesty in immigration cases, and also technology like drones, detection equipment, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's a great compromise. It's something that brings a lot to the table from the right and from the left, and it's something that the Democrats, if they were interested in actual solutions and answers rather than just stopping President Donald Trump no matter what, which seems to be the only thing fueling the Democrats today, they would take this offer and be thankful for it.
You know, Dora, you were on the Fox and Friends couch, I think, about a week ago, and I agree with your sentiment 100%, where you were saying about even if one terrorist crosses the border, that's a problem. You know, it's similar to me when you have DUI checkpoints. You know, we all know that, you know, you may catch one or two people or a handful, but there are many, many more people that are driving drunk and putting people at risk. But I've always felt that if you can get one drunk driver off the road and stop him from murdering yourself or your loved one, then it's worth it. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree with that on two levels. First, let's say you put up a roadblock that lasts for 3 hours and you actually catch only one or two people who are drunk. People say, oh, one or two, it's not worth it. Well, that could be the one person who slams into a car with people coming home from, Thanksgiving dinner and kills mom, dad, and kids. It could be somebody who smacks into a convenience store and runs over the cashier, who knows what. But the more important point is that people see the checkpoint and they think, you know what, I think I'm going to call a cab. I'm not going to drive home. Or I'll have an Uber pick me up and take me to the party and bring me back. And that deterrent effect keeps other potential drunk drivers from being on the road. A wall keeps people like terrorists, like some of those whom we have caught at the border, from saying, you know what, it's too risky, I'm not going to run across the border. And yes, indeed, we have, despite what the left likes to say, oh, there are no terrorists at the border. Robert Francis O'Rourke, who ran for Senate in Texas, said there have been, quote, zero examples, quote, unquote, zero examples of people being caught at the border who are terrorists. In fact, I've got an article that I did at National Review online and also FoxNews.com, a dozen examples of terrorists we have caught at the border, including two guys, just to give you one example, Mukhtar Ahmad and Muhammad Azim of Gujarat, Pakistan. They were caught just north of Tijuana in the United States in September 2015. Both of those guys were on U.S. terrorism watch lists. Now, those are the ones we've caught. Who knows who has come across? We've not caught. And yes, it's true, we've not had an attack, an explosion, or shootings, whatever, tied to anyone who's crossed the border of whom we're aware. But, you know, that could happen tomorrow, or these people could be here simply raising money for Hezbollah or ISIS or al-Shabaab or what have you. They could be in mosques giving radicalization sermons and lessons. They could be providing other kinds of training. They could be doing spy work. They could be sitting here waiting for orders from Tehran or Islamabad or Saudi Arabia or Egypt or who knows where. And maybe the instructions will come in a week or two or a month or two. God only knows, but I'd rather have those people on the outside looking in and then on the inside looking around at Americans to kill.
I agree. You know, I've never understood the Democrats' rationale that, you know, they are for border security, but they're against the most fundamental aspect of border security, which is a wall. That just doesn't make sense to me.
You're right. You know, they say we're for border security. God knows we're for border security. Absolutely. All right. Well, the best way to secure the border is either through a wall or steel slats or double fence or what have you. But they've also voted against all sorts of stuff. They voted against the law in the House, overwhelmingly voted against a law that would have said simply, if we know you're a member of a gang and you apply for a visa, it is okay for the State Department or DHS, whatever, to say, no, we don't want you in this country. So according to Democrats, if we know you're a member of a gang, come on in. Please come to America and do your thing. Go do that voodoo that you do so well. The Democrats aren't bothered by that. Kate Steinman's law, simply saying if you are a violent felon and illegal alien, you've been deported from the United States, and you come back into this country, if we catch you after we've deported you, we can put you in jail for, I think it's 5 years, if I'm not mistaken. I guess each time the number goes up. Democrats overwhelmingly voted against that in the House, and then in the Senate, Mitch McConnell couldn't bring it up because the Democrats said, no, no, we don't want to do that. So according to Democrats, if you are a violent felon, you've convicted heavy felonies, you've been kicked out of the country, and you come back in, they don't want you to go to jail. So basically, they say they're for border security, but every time they have an opportunity to do so, as long as President Trump is in, the answer is no. Although pre-Trump, they voted for, in 2013, just 6 years ago, they voted for $46 billion worth of border security, including 700 miles of double fence. So the only thing that's changed in this equation is Donald J. Trump, and they hate his guts, they want him dead, and if he's for it, they're against it, full stop.
DeRoy, this is Tony Colombo. I agree with everything you're saying. Have the Republicans and the president done a good enough job of pointing out Democrat hypocrisy and obstruction? Because I feel like the Democrats are starting to win in the court of public opinion. Who do you think is winning in the court of public opinion? And how can the president get that message to people that, look, these people are giant hypocrites, and explain to them everything that you've pointed out here?
Well, I think the president is on the right side on this issue. I agree with you that the president, the GOP Congress, and everyone else on the right could do a much better job of getting this message out. I've seen very, very few TV ads on this. There ought to be TV ads where we see over and over and over Chuck Schumer saying illegal aliens, using that word, quote, illegal aliens, unquote, don't deserve the same treatment as legal aliens. We need border protection. He bragged about this in a speech at Georgetown University. We've got Hillary Clinton on tape saying that she has voted, quote, voted for, quote, barriers, unquote, a number of times. Obama back in 06, I think, praising all this stuff. Run that stuff over and over and over, and then compare the old Democrat view pre-Trump with the post-Trump view. I call them the new arsenal of hypocrisy. That's what the Democrat Party has become. And we ought to see that all the time. We ought to see more speeches. If I were President Trump, I would do rallies. I would go around the country and do rallies on this. and just hammer these guys. Mm-hmm. I think they're incredibly vulnerable. They're incredibly weak. We ought to be having people calling the offices of Democrat senators in states won by President Trump, such as Doug Jones down in Alabama. He's vulnerable. If you're Cory Booker in New Jersey and you're up in 2020, I don't think people in New Jersey necessarily going to respond quite that well. But certainly people in Alabama, people in Michigan who voted for President Trump in 2016 for president, ought to be calling their senators and saying, get on board and give us a secure border and stop this chaos, this absolute madness. Even if you believe we should be a country that's open to immigrants, which is what I believe, there needs to be some order here. I mean, if you were throwing a house party, you greet people at the door, you shake their hands, you say, welcome to your home, the beer's over there, the bathroom's over there, the hors d'oeuvres over there on the table, please come in. You don't have people coming in through the bathroom window, climbing down the chimney, you know, busting up through the basement, which is what we've got right now. People jumping fences, throwing rocks, breaking into this country, and that's utter bedlam. So even if you believe we should be open to immigrants, as I believe, they need to come in through a legal process, they need to go to the embassies, fill out the paperwork, apply to become visitors or potentially citizens or whatever, but follow the legal process, not the utter, complete pandemonium, which is what we have in a state of emergency at the border, in my opinion.
And we're speaking with DeRoy Murdoch, Fox News contributor and National Review columnist. Want to switch gears right quick. I mentioned earlier about the Project 21 press release that was mentioning the controversial remarks by Steve King. I don't think you called for his resignation. I didn't either, but we were very disappointed in his words. I want to read just a little bit of your quote. You said, well, for starters, conservatives do not believe that whites are superior, nor are blacks, nor are Hispanics, nor anyone else. Like our founding fathers, we find it self-evident that we are all created equal and enjoy equal justice under the law. You know, I've been getting some flack from some folks that are saying that I'm falling into the liberal media's trap by condemning the remarks of Steve King. Are you getting the same, and do you still stand by your quotes?
I've gotten no such flack. I stand by what I said. Mm-hmm. Steve King said things which are appropriate. He said white nationalists, white supremacists, Western civilization. How did that language become offensive? Well, it's pretty offensive language. White nationalists and white supremacists are ipso facto offensive. I'm not sure why he wouldn't find that offensive. Now, he's said in his defense that he only referred to the term Western civilization. How did the term Western civilization become offensive? Well, if that's what he meant to say, he should have picked his words a lot more carefully. If nothing else, Steve King and every Republican in Congress and in Washington, D.C. and across the country, everyone on the right, needs to understand that on every issue, we on the right have a margin of error about maybe half a millimeter. It's about like that much. So particularly when it comes to race, you've got to pick your words very carefully and not just blast out something like this, either because you're malicious and pro-white supremacist or because you are just very sloppy with your words. So whether he committed an act of commission or an act of sheer negligence, either way, it was inappropriate. He created a distraction we didn't need in the middle of this whole shutdown fight. I think that the GOP was very smart to jump swiftly on this, remove him from his committees. And I think by doing that, underscore the notion that this is not a racist party, this is not a white supremacist party. If it were, he would have gotten high fives and been applauded and cheered for saying what he did. In fact, he was castigated and stripped of much of his power, as you saw, which I think underscores that this is not the racist, bigoted party that the Democrats, who are in fact racist and bigoted in many instances, like to portray us to be.
And quickly, we've got just about a minute left, but you also put out an interesting column where you're stating that the president should go ahead and deliver his State of the Union address. You know, Nancy's trying to put the kibosh on that. I don't know if that's a word. Katie's looking at me. Is that a word? You say that he should go ahead and give the State of the Union address. Expound on that a little bit.
Yeah, he should send a letter to Nancy Pelosi today and say, Nancy Pelosi, thank you very much for the invitation to which I agreed based on your letter of January 3rd. I look forward to the State of the Union on January 29th as planned. See you then, period. Go to the House of Representatives, give the speech just as planned, and in the balcony, you can point to people who are victims of drugs, victims of drunk driving by illegal aliens, people who are victims of illegal alien crime, the Border Patrol agents who caught those two terrorists I just described to you, and others. And he can spend an hour laying out the case on this, and the Democrats either can applaud, which means that we make some headway, or can sit on their hands and look like they're okay with all of this bad stuff going on. Either one's a victory. I urge the President of the United States to give the State of the Union at the House of Representatives as planned on January 29th.
And that's DeRoy Murdoch, Fox News contributor, National Review columnist. DeRoy, tell the folks where they can read your great columns.
Oh, thanks for asking. NationalReview.com and FoxNews.com, and in both places, and also Town Hall. Those are the main places. Look up my name, and you'll see my op-ed pieces. I churn them out all the time, so I've got, I'm working on one now, and there'll be more to come pretty much every couple days of the week.
Excellent. Thank you for joining us, and I hope that you'll come back on the Annie Fry Show again, sir.
Happy to, Chris. Thanks. Have a
Thanks.
Good day.
Have a good day.
Take care. All right, bye.
And that's DeRoy Murdoch, National Review columnist, Fox News contributor.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.